Hi, Bobby Halton here for Unimac. Now, Unimac knows there's no price that you can put on a life, including ours. Being proactive with our health and safety is non-negotiable. To protect us against cancer-causing carcinogens, we need more than just clean gear. You need a total solution with the best equipment, the best technology, and the best training. That's why the good folks at Unimac partnered with an NFPA-authorized independent service provider to offer certified training on NFPA 1851 standards. When it comes to keeping us safe and healthy, demand the total package. Get training details at unimac.com/safety. That's unimac.com/safety.
Hi, welcome to Fire Grand Strategies and Other Stuff from the Street with Anthony Avillo and Jim Duffy on Fire Engineering Talk Radio, where firefighters come to share their knowledge, their ideas, their opinions, and most of all, have a little bit of fun at the same time. So stay tuned and enjoy the show.
Welcome to April 2021 edition of Fireground Strategies and Other Stuff from the Street. I didn't think we were going to get here, but here we are. Normally, at this time of the year, Chief Avillo and I would be out in Indianapolis with the rest of the instructors and students at FDIC. I am sad that we're not there, but the good news is to all you folks listening who don't know this yet, and I hope you do, that the first week of August, FDIC is going to happen at the Indianapolis Convention Center. So really, really looking forward to it. Indianapolis in August, I've never been there, but it's a great time, a great place to meet other firefighters, study a little bit more about your craft, and excited. Chief Avillo, how are you tonight?
Hi, Duff. What's happening, my brother? I'm doing good. We would be at Indy right around now, I guess. And, but there is light at the end of the tunnel because first week of August, we will be back out in Indy. And that's a good thing, man. You know, as things open up and we start to do some more live training, which I'm sure you are as excited as I am to do live training. I'm really ready for it.
Yeah, it's been great. Actually, the last 3 months I've been doing my class, actually the same class, an abbreviated version of it for the New York State Association of Fire Chiefs. I did one up just outside of Buffalo, one just outside of Rochester, and one in the Southern Adirondacks. And it was a great mixed class, some career members, volunteer members, and some combination members. So it was pretty interesting. It was diverse. There were students there with 12-member volunteer departments and members from Buffalo FD, you know, which is a good-sized department. So interesting mix, interesting questions. Great conversation, and so exciting to be actually in front of a group of people. I mean, we did all social distancing, you know, in and out of the room you wore masks. The students wore masks. They sat 10 feet apart on their tables, and I was allowed to present without my mask, so made it a little easier. It's difficult to stand in front of a group of people with a mask on, although I believe it's important, but I am now fully vaccinated. I've had both my shots a little over 2 weeks ago, so I feel like I'm safe. Actually, I know I'm safe. My wife ended up getting COVID and wasn't pretty, but I lived in the same house. We slept in separate rooms, you know, and, you know, we, but I didn't catch it, you know, so I do believe that the vaccine worked, or definitely prevented me from getting it. So I'm pretty pleased. So that's pretty much it. We're going to introduce a guest, and then I want to get to FDIC again and have you talk about the classes you're presenting, and I'll talk about mine. And then we'll ask Charlie some questions about this great Facebook page he has. So, Anthony, because you're more familiar with Charlie, maybe you could give a brief bio, who he is, his background, where he comes from, and how, you know, we'll talk to him about how he got to where he is today with the Facebook page and the association. So, Chief Villa, if you would introduce our guest.
Absolutely. This guest, if you're from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, especially New Jersey, sort of needs no introduction. He's been around, it seems like, forever. He started in with the Guttenberg Fire Department as a volunteer, I guess. And we'll let him sort of clarify all the mistakes I'm going to make right here. But he was always a fixture around the firehouses in Hudson County and North Hudson and before he regionalized in West New York and Union City. And, the word around the street is, what firehouse has Charlie Lynn not been kicked out of? But, listen, he always was in there. He was always there to talk fire. He's one of those guys that's extremely passionate about the job. He retired as a battalion chief in Jersey City, working in some really busy companies and, living proof of, the passion in the fire service. And now he is the head honcho, president. I'm not even sure exactly what his title is, but there's a group called the Deputy Fire Chiefs Association, Deputy and Battalion Fire Chiefs Association of New Jersey. And there's a ton of members on there. You know, Vinnie Dunn is very vocal in that group, John Ciriello. It's not just New Jersey guys, but New York guys and Connecticut guys and people from all over the country. And it was an organization that it's been around a long time, and it was kind of a dying organization until Charlie took the reins. And when Charlie took the reins, he really, really turned it around. And now it's about as solid an organization as you can get. And if you're friends with Charlie, if you're not friends with Charlie on Facebook, you should be. And if you are friends with Charlie, he puts stuff out every day that just shows his passion and engages every single day. And we're really proud to have him here with us today. And Charlie, listen, if I messed anything up there, you can certainly correct me. He is, like any other Hudson County person, an absolute character, which is part of his charm. But welcome aboard, Charlie.
Well, Chief, thank you so much for your great introduction. And Chief Duffy, thank you so much for inviting me onto this podcast. I truly appreciate it. Yes, I've known Chief Avello for well over 40 years, both before we got on the job and now still today, now retired members. Yes, I started in the fire service in Guttenberg. I was handed my first towel to wipe the rig down at 10 years old, and the passion never stopped. I went on to fire department in 1977 in Guttenberg, mentored by many great men. And then from that, I went on to Jersey City Fire Department in 1982. And I worked with some of the best of the best. I'd like to just acknowledge two of the guys I worked with. One of the guys, rest in peace, was my first captain, Captain Tom Derby, Ladder Company 9, and another great guy, a mentor that was an officer's officer, was Captain James Prahn. So I've been very blessed to have been in the fire service. It's the greatest fraternity that you could belong to, and if God made anything else, he kept it for himself. And I think we'll all agree on that.
Yes, sir. I have some questions for you before you go on a little bit. Tell
yes,
us,
sir. Yes, please.
And I know about your page, your Facebook page, Deputy and Battalion Chiefs of New Jersey. It's a great page because every day, you or someone else posts some historical things. Vinnie Dunn, with his new book, he's giving you little pieces of it at a time. I know you've recently brought up a lot of stuff about trusses, which was, when I first got on the fire service, it was kind of new. It was, you know, what happened in Hackensack and stuff like that. And you're bringing back a lot of those, that information, some of the bigger fires and some of the great losses. And you're publishing articles from them with some diagrams that I think you're educating 18-year-old firefighters in New Jersey and New York, and as well as bringing older folks like ourselves to share their knowledge. And I think it's a wonderful thing. So why don't you just tell everybody how to find your site, like the exact correct title. Mine, I have a link to it, so it's a group I belong to. And I know you're looking for people to contribute and post stuff too. So why don't you just explain a little bit about that?
Okay. I founded this page, New Jersey Deputy and Battalion Fire Chiefs Association. It's not part of our association. It's more of an informal page where young firefighters and older firefighters can come on and look at some history. Excuse me, Chief. Look at some history of the fire service, because as we know, if we're not careful, history will repeat itself somewhere on the fire ground. And I founded this page sometime around 2015. Right before that, I had Gene Stolowski come in and do a seminar for us in the for the New Jersey Deputy and Battalion Fire Chiefs Association, along with Chief Joe DiBernardo. And we were in a rebuilding process, and from that point on, I decided to form this page. And I made a pledge to Chief Joe DiBernardo, which you all know, great man, great foundation, that I said if we were able to get back up on our feet, that we would contribute to the foundation every year. And successfully, over the last 3 years, Chief, we were able to donate money to outfit one needy firefighter with a personal escape system with training. So we're very happy about that. It gives me a little bit of passion here to reflect and go back in history. I happen to be very close with some Hackensack guys, Lieutenant Len Coyman, very close friend of mine, Lieutenant Frank Pinto, who was at the Hackensack Ford fire. And I often told him, I said, if I was able to make I'm going to call this, as far as I'm concerned, Chief, I'm going to call this the big stage. And I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, those guys in 1988 suffered a great loss. And it was through their loss that we became educated. I think we'll agree on that. You know, and so on. If we go through, the history of the fire service, it seems that every 10 or 12 years, there's a major loss of life. In 67, the Cardinal Bowling Alleys. In 78, Wall Bounds. In 88, Hackensack Fords. In 99, Worcester, Mass. In 2009, we had the Charleston Nine. And right now, if we're not careful, history will repeat itself. The job has become very young, and it needs to stay educated. And the way you stay educated is by reading NIOSH reports on how our brothers are dying on the battlefield, both our brothers and our sisters.
Yep, that is so true, and thank you for what you're doing. One thing I also want to add that we forget, the amount of civilians we're losing as well every year. Today is April 12th. So far this year, we've lost 900 civilians, exactly 900 civilians as of today. And the education and training you were just speaking about and talking about the history can help us reduce these numbers, both our firefighter injuries and our firefighter deaths and the public injuries and deaths. So we need to remain students of the fire service. And I know, Chief Avillo, you agree with that. That's why you teach at the academy. That's why you travel around and do your teaching. And I think we're very lucky. Tell us about some of the things that you got going with your classes, Chief.
We're starting to pick things up at the Fire Academy, which I'm really happy with. Some of the conferences are starting to pick back up. As Charlie had just said, the Deputy Fire Chiefs Association has their conference, which was canceled, then canceled again, then moved back, and we're trying to get that off the ground as well, because it's a great conference, and we had actually scheduled Chief Dunn was scheduled to speak, and he doesn't speak that much anymore, so that was going to be a real treat for everyone. The whole show is completely sold out. I was honored to be asked to speak this year. It'll be my second time speaking at the conference, and we also had John Ciriello speaking this year. So, it was we're hoping that we're able to reschedule that this year and pull it off, because it is sold out. I have some other gigs coming up. I'm going to be doing some things for Tracy Rayner. I'm going to have the privilege of going up to Alaska to speak, which I'm really excited about. But I'm going to be doing the EMS Pro conference and a few other conferences, the New York State Chiefs. Things are starting to pick up now again. It's a good sign, as long as everybody can be smart about what they're doing. I was just in the food town in Atlantic Highlands, and there's a guy in there with no mask on at all. And I said, you know what? If I say something to this guy, there's going to be a fight, But I was so surprised that the people in food town didn't, refuse him at the checkout counter and call the cops or kick him out. But, they allowed this guy to just walk around the store without a mask. And I was, seething, because we've just kind of come too far. And we're not out of the woods yet, And I was just seething about it. And, I really wanted to say something about it, but I had a feeling that it would end up in a fight, and I wouldn't have been on the radio tonight because I'd be, locked up somewhere. But, we're starting to come out of this, and we have to be smart about it. And the training is starting to move forward, which is a great thing, I'm hoping that, that continues.
Yeah, I agree with you. One of my concerns is, as I'm talking to friends who are firefighters, is how much their training has gone to the back burner. Now, pretty much the only thing that's happened in fire departments is company training. And that is probably the best training, is company officer with their crews. The problem with that is, if you have a shitty officer, the training is... Okay, we have a house fire today. We're going to stretch a line to the front door. Okay, training done. Let's go have some coffee. But if you have a dynamic company officer who's going over the NIOSH report and or stretching hose into buildings or going around, if you're in a ladder company, asking permission if you can set up your ladder on the building in your district, and do some real vehicle placement, but the problem when the department training is gone aside, because they want people going from house to house. A lot of departments, people are only working in their assigned house, even on overtime and swaps. They're not allowed to travel. That's starting to change, thank God. But what happened is, then the department stops paying attention and the slackers get to slack. But, like I said, if you have a passionate officer and an officer that cares about his men and women and the job, the training is usually better. So I think it's time that we need to get out, and echoing what you said, Chief Avillo, wearing your mask, social distancing when you're in strange places, like spring break and things like that. I get it. I was young once too, although it was a long time ago, and I did go to Florida and partied and did a lot of stupid stuff. Today, I don't think that's the wisest choice. So I don't have the answer. I'm not an expert. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm living my life, but I am going to take precautions. And, you know, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get anybody else sick. So I think it's important. And I love, Charlie, what you're doing. I think it's absolutely outstanding. And I read your stuff almost every day. I'll be honest, I don't look at Facebook every day, but one of the things I always look at is the stuff that's posted on your page. I think it's – some of it is not brand new, and some of it reminds me of things that I've forgotten. And we have brand new members have less than a year, less than 5 years, don't even know about these incidents you talked about. You know, wall bombs was – you know, that was not far from where I was. You know, so mm-hmm. I do know, and I think your service is great, what you're doing, and you're reaching a lot of people, you know, and it's not just in New Jersey. You know, there are people all over. I know people on Long Island that look at your page. So I think it's a really great thing. And thank
well,
you.
Hey, Charlie. Yes, Chief. Hey, what? Now you have the other page too, right? Old school firefighting. Tell us about that one.
Yes. I'm gonna actually brief you on two things, and I really want to send kudos and expand on Chief Duffy's thoughts. And again, Chief Velo, I know that you're very passionate. The NIOSH reports. North Hudson Regional Fire and Rescue has been doing this for many, many years, and kudos to them. And I would love for both volunteer and careers to start up some type of committee or some type of training in that area. I know that there's departments that do it, but you'd have to do a little research, and you'd have to take a look at the size of your community and how it would fit into the NIOSH report. And, yes, and Chief Duffy, you are correct. A lot of things that can be education can be found from old school events. And again, we all know that no two fires burn the same. And the incidents, although maybe when they happen, will mirror the same tragic events. So the Deputy Chief's page allows the members to express some ideas. Another great guy that come into the page was John Cagno, North Providence. A great story, a great comeback. Talk about a passionate guy. I'm sure you've heard of him. We've chatted on the phone. Much passion on that end. And there are guys that are on this page. Chief Dunn, I can't thank him enough for coming onto the page. He likes what I'm doing. I was very humbled for being a small, you know, being from a small town called Guttenberg, New Jersey, and being a volunteer fireman. And then at the end of one of Chief Dunn's last books, he mentioned me in his book, in one of the an article that I had did for a magazine, and it was just fantastic. Now, part two of this is you can actually thank Chief Dunn for my thoughts on putting it's called old school firefighting in New Jersey. I believe that's the title of it. And what that does is guys weigh in and they put pictures of how our brothers were operating. Many brothers were operating in the 60s, 70s, well into the 80s. Seen tremendous amount of fire duty. Now, we all know the difference. New York is a very special department. The manpower is tremendous, five on a truck with an officer, five on a pumper with an engine with an officer. In New Jersey, our Jersey firefighters, very active departments, Newark, Jersey City, Patterson, Hoboken, one of the arson capitals of probably for a small square mile town, back in the 60s and the 70s, those guys were seeing a tremendous amount of fire duty. And that was with three firefighters on an engine with an officer. And sometimes the truck, where I come out of Jersey City, we only had three firefighters, no officer. It was a double house. So we were doing the work of two men at every fire. And we were, you know, and again, the smaller jobs, you were doing the work of three men. So in New Jersey, the city fathers and the town fathers got their money's worth both out of the police and fire. So thanks to Chief Dunn, I appreciate him more than words could say. He wanted me to put a page together to honor the hardworking men of and women of the New Jersey on the Jersey Fire Service.
You know what? That's true in most of the country. Of the country, there are places where I work. An engine was an officer and two men. So if you're first in engine, so to speak, one of those men was the pump operator, and then it was the officer and the firefighter. That was your hose team for the first in engine until all the people arrived. The next in engine would also have an officer and two firefighters. The truck, when I first started there, was two men on the ladder truck. Later on, it became an officer and two men on the ladder truck. And the majority of the career departments in this country are set up that way. Nobody's set up like New York. Well, there are some places. But for the most part, there are three and four men, including the officer, on the rigs in most departments. And, you know, they work their butts off, but they still get the job done. It doesn't matter if you have a five-man ladder truck or a two-man ladder truck. The same tasks and tactics have to happen at every job you go to. Only it's going to take longer. You're not, and there are places that have one truck. There are volunteer departments that they only have engines, but the truck work still has to happen. And we need to remember that when we teach. We have to teach to and discuss the small departments as well as the big departments.
That is, Chief, you're accurate. Your point, you're spot on. With that,
can you tell my wife I'm accurate?
Well, I'm going to give you give me the number after we're done, and I'll certainly put a plug in for you. But I can tell you that the Jersey City Fire Department was probably the most studied fire department in the country. The amount of time that I was on the job for 35 years, and there was always a few things that that came to light, and one was lack of supervision, and how do you get the job done with the amount of men and the fire load that you have? And just recently, within the last, I'm just going to say the last 7 years, we had a commissioner come in and do a study, do a little overview on our job, and we happened to be catching some work that week, and he was amazed at how do we get the job done. And the chief of operations at the time says, because we're doing the job of two men. It wasn't one man, one job. You got the can and the irons, or you got the OV. We were everything, so we were multitasking. So kudos to the brothers in New Jersey and the sisters in New Jersey, both in the volunteer and the career side. It takes a lot of passion. You know, I come out of the volunteers, so I understand both sides of the spectrum. I was a chief in the volunteers and a chief in the career, and they do a tremendous job, and I believe they follow my page, and we just try to give them some old – I try to give them some old school tips.
Yep, and one thing I want to add to that, us old-timers have to look at some of the new stuff and learn some of the new stuff. The Blitzfire nozzle that's showing up on engines all over the country, what a great idea, you know, and so many other things. So old school is awesome. New school is awesome. And we need to work together and learn that stuff. if it's okay with you, Chief Villo, I want to change subject a little bit. Did you get that picture I sent?
Yes.
From Paul Kunst?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because we're just talking about passion and brotherhood. And I just want to talk a little bit about some things. Paul Kunst just did a cartoon. And I think it's important that we discuss it because I've been seeing it way too much. He did a cartoon, and there's two rats sitting at a computer, at a laptop. And one of them says, ruthlessly bashing another department's tactics, what shamelessly promoting yourself to be an aggressive badass. Bravo. Social media makes everybody an expert. And that saddens me a bit. I belong to a group. I'm not going to say any name in a group, but it really, really bothers me. On this group, someone posted a video of another department's fire. And this was the post that went with it. How many things can you find that they did wrong? How did we deteriorate to this point where we're going online on Facebook or whatever it is to bash other departments? This Facebook page should be about sharing information and training each other and sharing what we learned, not pointing out the things that another department did wrong. I've been a firefighter since 1974. I won't count 74 because it was December. So I've been a firefighter a long time. I'm retired now, 2 years out. So I'm not a firefighter anymore, not an active firefighter. But I have never in all that time been to a single fire that went absolutely perfect. Something could have always done better. The hose could have been stretched cleaner. The ventilation could have been done differently or whatever. Every fire that I've been to could have been done better. Not saying they weren't. There were so many good jobs that we did a great job. But when you sit and analyze it, well, maybe if we did this, maybe if the truck positioned over here, it would have been a little easier to get that job done. Maybe if they used a 35-foot ladder instead of a 24-foot ladder, it would have been easier to vent that window, whatever. Not that they did wrong, but it could have been better. So right now, one of the downsides of Facebook, what your page is doing is good stuff. But there are people criticizing and saying how much better their department is. And sometimes it's a neighbor. People that run mutual aid together, those departments should be training together, hands-on training, stretching into buildings, going to the academy together, and getting better as teams. Because a lot of small – the community I live in, they have less than 100 volunteers, and it's a 26-square-mile town, and many of them are my age, and they should be working to get better, not bashing the neighbor that's going to come in and help them next week when they have a fire or someone. Or when they do come in, they stand in the command post going, that's not how I would do it. This is a brotherhood. We keep preaching about the brotherhood we belong to, but I see some deterioration. I don't think it's gone. I don't think the brotherhood is gone, but I think we need to look out for social media. They're basically just grown-up bullies beating up on another part of them. Paul Kuhn sees it, and he did a great cartoon to stress this. I want to ask you guys, what do you think we can do as instructors, as someone who has a very, very large following on their Facebook site? How do we get people to stop doing this? Yes, people make mistakes, and sometimes they're really horrendous. I use these videos where mistakes were made in my classes, but I do everything I can so that in no part of the video can you see the name of the department. And when I've made mistakes, I've shared the videos of my fire where it didn't go so well and explained what could have been done better. But I don't think what we're doing today and I'm certainly not involved in it. But what, and some of these people have less than 2 years on a job or 2 years as a volunteer, mm-hmm. and they're making fun of their neighbor. What can we do to help stop this?
Well, you know what, Duff? One of the things that I think is that, you know, when you look internally at a department, when the most senior members and the members that these younger guys look up to are continuously griping about the department, they set the stage for people that, for people to sort of follow that example, like, through their whole career. And they start out being a criticizer of their own department. And then, you know, what happens is they become criticizers of other departments as well. I think, you know, everybody's got to be able to look in the mirror and be able to judge, you know, themselves. I think departments need to self-regulate and be able to sort of critique themselves. And a department that can critique itself will always get better. There are departments that will not critique themselves. There are departments that, you know, they don't even do critiques, you know. They'll shove things under the rug. I've seen a lot of that in my time as a director at the Academy, that things are shoved under the rug and they don't get discussed because people are afraid to offend someone or criticize someone. And listen, this criticism is okay when it's done constructively, you know, where it's there to make the department better. But I agree with you 100% that, like, bashing another department on social media, I mean, listen, in the kitchen, you know, sometimes, I mean, and Charlie will relate to this as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like, you'd be sometimes, yep. And, you know, be like, you got in Jersey City, like, oh, my God, what the hell were you doing down there? And he would say the same thing to us, but that's in the kitchen. When you throw that stuff out on social media, people don't know the relationship you have with those individuals, and, you know, you have to be really careful with that. And you're right. There are people that have, you know, I always say this. When you come on the job, you start the job as a nobody and you realize you know nothing. Then you're on the job for about 2.5 years and you think you know everything until you start studying for promotion. You realize almost for the rest of your career that you know nothing. You know, the thing I always look at is when people bring their egos to the game is always soured. Something bad always happens in the game when egos are involved. And that, I think, has a lot to do with, you know, a lot on what you're talking about here. You know, some people like to stroke their own egos by, you know, sort of knocking someone else down.
Yep, you step on, you know, somebody else to make yourself taller.
Yeah, I think senior members should be setting better examples. That's one of the things I think that's one of the areas that contributes to this type of issue.
Yeah, I've been reeling since I've read this. Maybe because it's the way it was worded. How many things can you find that they did wrong? Not what would you do if this was your fire? How would you size up? How would you stretch the line? How would you whatever? That has a whole different tone than how many things can you find that they did wrong? You know,
yeah.
I just read that and go, oh, my God. You know, and you could ask the same question and use it for training by framing it differently. If you were the battalion chief arriving at this fire, what would you have your men do? Or if you were the engine company officer, what would you do with this fire?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that have a lot better feeling to it?
Of course. And mm-hmm. Charlie hit it on the head when he talked about the line of duty death sort of reviews. We've been doing it in North Hudson since 2008, and we do it at the Fire Academy in Monmouth now. We do it through Fire One. We do it in Fire Officer. We have them, you know, do what we did in North Hudson. And I always share it every time I do a class on that. And we didn't make that up. I got that from Scott Thompson from he's from Texas. And I think, you know, Lasky was involved in it. There were a bunch of people that sort of put that whole thing together. And we sort of ran with it sort of on our own in North Hudson. We sort of, you know, kind of made it our own. But one of the things we always looked at with that line of duty death roundtable was the fact that There's a form that they fill out, and the fact that, one, where do we have buildings like this? What do we have in place that can help us prevent this from happening? You know, how would we prevent it from happening here? You know, so like, not only do we sort of look at it and look at the recommendations and you know, areas for improvement, but we also look at our department and we say, listen, where could we be running into this same exact thing in our jurisdiction? You know, and that line of duty death thing changed some things in North Hudson for the better. One of them being the RIC team response with the first alarm. Another being the response of a battalion chief as soon as we say working fire, a second battalion chief, just for additional supervision, a quicker RIC response. You know, all these things were brought about by looking at other people's, I hate to say mistakes, but looking at other people's jobs and, you know, sort of learning from them. The idea is to learn, not to bash.
Correct.
I agree. One thing I want to add about your line of duty death roundtable that you do, I stole it from you about 10 years ago and brought it back to my department. One of the things that helps it to have more weight, some of the questions were like, who did they leave behind? Did they have family? So not only is it what happened at the fire, but that line of duty death, the man left behind three kids and a wife. That one in Spring Valley just a couple weeks ago, two young kids, you know, a horrible, horrible thing. And sometimes when you're talking about this, the guy goes, yeah. And then you realize how many other people it has impact on. It might make them pay attention a little more. We actually, when we first started doing it after I stole it from you, each company would do a report on they would have to pick a line of duty death and do a report on it. And I thought it was great. Some of them came and did whole PowerPoints on it. Other guys just, you know, read what the NIOSH were finding. But that's okay. Let them do it and present it to the shift. And I thought that worked well, and I stole that from you. And I think, I don't know if they're still doing it anymore, but I thought it was a great tool. Charlie, I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, I know
what
that
you think.
Jim, if I could weigh in about how do we change the culture.
Of course you can.
I think that, you know, in the New Jersey Deputy and Battalion Fire Chiefs Association, we decided to go back to bringing the younger generation into the fire service. And within the last, it was back in October, we hosted a junior program day at the Burgerfield Fire Training Center. And we gave that day to them. And they came and they performed the functions which they were allowed to perform. And they started to build that camaraderie up. And it was all taught, Jim and Anthony, by outsiders. It wasn't for their department. Mm-hmm. And I think that if the departments want to embrace some change, I think that they have to get some outsiders to come in and talk about, or maybe let these young kids talk about what they would like to see. Because I know a couple of departments, you know, one department in particular, they have an older guy that talks a lot and says nothing. He talks a lot of gibberish, and he's a cancer. He brings nothing to the table to these young men and women. And I want to see these young men and women go on to become good firefighters. And I think that is the most important thing, is investing in the youth of the fire service. And right now, within probably the next 6 months, we're hoping to have another program for them to bring them up to speed. And, yes, you are correct. It has become a culture thanks to Facebook, and there is bashing. There is photos caught in time, and it's like those photos are caught in time, but that second before or that second after. So this is why I say to photographers, when you're out there, and you're taking your photos, think about the photos that you're putting up on your page. You might have the best intentions in the world. However, once they go up, they could be used against the department. OSHA comes in and looks over that particular fire. So I think everybody's got the good intentions. I think that you just have to be cautious with how you put it up there, because it only then those pictures will fuel some discussion, so to speak. And I think that you are accurate. I think that a department is in these departments right now, as you know, Chief, probably my department is about 70% under, 60% under 10 years on the job. And it's through the whole country now. And, you know, if the culture is the culture is different. The culture has changed. The tradition of the fire service has changed. It's this generation. It's the Y generation. It's the Z generation. But I think if you allowed some of the baby boomers to come back in and talk to these kids, we might be able to reach them. I don't know. But I try every day to put something up on my page. You know, I follow you, Chief Duffy. I follow Anthony. I know him 40 years, intelligent, you know, and, you know, his department that he came from, they worked 10 men, 12 men. And I physically watched them operate and did the job of 20 men. And any time I would have a mutual aid fire into my town, a volunteer town, that particular town and another town would work like animals. So I was blessed. So I understand both sides. And, you know, I think that we need to have the senior guys get control of the departments. You there, Doc? Yes.
No, you're saying the same thing we're all saying. Like, the senior men have some responsibility, and they have to step up to the plate. And that's the only thing, you know, when a senior man, you know, sort of criticizes department or criticizes another department, it carries a hell of a lot more weight than a junior guy, because these are the guys that are influencing the younger guys on the job. You know, I remember talking to a guy, and I did, with the Full Contact Leadership book, I had Tommy yes. Von Essen did the introduction. He did the forward for us. And I spoke to an individual, and I was telling him about the book, and he was an FDNY guy, and I was telling him about the book, and I said, yeah, a guy, Tommy Von Essen, is going to be doing my intro. And he had like so many negative things to say about Tommy, and the guy only had about 10 years on the job. Tommy had been gone for a really long time. And, you know, love him or hate him, he was always good to me, but the idea was there's where you look at a guy that never met him, never worked under this guy, but had such a bad taste in his mouth because of what he heard from the people above him, you know, and, you know, so that's just an example, one of the examples that you hear. You know, in some cases like that. You know, and ultimately it just hurts the department.
Yeah.
I think the reputation.
I agree with you 100%.
I think the reputations versus your character. It's your character is what you own. Your reputation is what people think of you. You know, sometimes you'll never change that mindset, and it's and it's a shame. But you know, we're out here plugging away, and you know, I think of things. I get up every morning, I have my coffee, I'm retired, and I say, what can I do here? And you know, I'm a big fan again of Chief Dunn. You know, it's amazing that I run into guys that are on the job that are about to study promotional, both men and women, and I'll say to them, did you ever read Safety and Survival on the Fire Ground? And they look at me like I got two heads. So 21 chapters in that book is like the blueprint of how to keep you safe. And now you have the bibliography. They don't want to go through the steps. They don't want to go Safety and Survival. Brannigan's book, Collapse of Burning Buildings, Norman's book, Ward's book, and go through it in that particular cycle. And, I think you got to know what can – I think you got to know what that can kill you, and that's Safety and Survival on the Fire Ground. And those men and women that are out there today in the streets that have families, this is not a kid's game that we're playing here. And we know this for a long time. I've attended firefighters' deaths. It's a very somber time. And every time that you go out that door, whether you're a career or a volunteer, your family is depending on you to walk back in that door. And you have to stay educated. And by reading, again, Safety and Survival, I mean, that says it all. You want to survive. Mm-hmm. So,
I agree with that, Charlie. You know, that Safety and Survival book, when I first read it, I was like, man, I know all this stuff. You know, this is nothing new to me. But you know what the genius of Vinnie Dunn is? We can't get past that stuff. We're still killing people that way. You know, it's still
correct.
The way guys are getting killed because, you know, how many people do you hear getting killed at a hazmat or a confined space incident or a high angle or any of these sort of like high tech sort of activities? No, guys are getting killed on the fire ground. They're getting killed on the highways, you know, and these are just, you know, and those are very basic. That's shit you learn in Firefighter One, man. And, you know, that I always felt was the absolute genius of Chief Dunn that, you know, he identified all those things, and we can't pay attention to those things as we work our way up the ladder or through our career, and we start to become senior guys. You know that stuff the stuff you learned in Fire One never diminishes in importance when you as you go through the job.
We talk about this all the time. The stuff that they're not teaching in Firefighter One, though, building construction. You and I spoke last month about how little building construction there is in Firefighter One. RIT, they don't teach the Firefighter Two. Well, you can walk out the door the day you graduate from Firefighter One and go to call and have to rescue a firefighter. So I think, but we spend hours and hours on folding salvage covers. Explain that to me. But the thing about every class I teach, I show a picture of Brannigan. And you know how many people I just taught? Let's see, I'm going to say probably about 130 firefighters in the last couple of months in classrooms. I put a picture of Brannigan up. Only one person in three different classes, two of them with 50, one with 75 students in it, only one person. And I said, what do you do? He goes, I'm a building inspector. I said, that's why you know who he is. But I think, and Chief Avillo, you've heard me say this, it's the most boring, hard-to-read book I've ever read. But as an incident commander, it's one of the most important books I ever read, just like Safety and Survival. I still have the original with the blue cover. I have Clark's book here sitting on my desk right now, published in 1972.
Yep.
There's stuff from Bill Clark that the UL and are saying, you know, they're new studies, but almost word for word, it's some of the stuff that Bill Clark said in 1972 about ventilation and coordinating ventilation. And we act like that UL has come up with this brand new strategy. No, it's been around since the 1800s. So we forget what we knew. And the problem is when people in middle management or senior men forget that stuff. So the new people coming on board don't think it's important to understand building construction. I just saw, Charlie, on your site, you were talking about balloon frame construction. Weren't you just in the last couple of days?
Yes.
Charlie?
I found that to be something that needed to go back out there. Chief Dunn had always told me, he goes, you know, when you're out there, you know, when you put something up, always put a picture up. And what I'll do is, if you notice, if you follow my page, I'm out taking my walk. I get into these buildings under construction, and I start taking photos. I start taking photos of through the – now, we're all aware of – I'm very passionate about through the door and through the floor, right, with these lightweight TGI flooring. And now we have balloon frames. I say, okay, I'm talking about a balloon frame with the knee walls. And Bud Henkel has been weighing in with building construction. And, you know, there's so much that guys have been starting to pop in there with, you know, building construction, buildings on fire, you know, things that were missing. You have John Lewis and you have Bob Moran. You know, they teach. I never actually caught their seminar. It's in the basement.
They do a great job. How critical is that now?
You know, Jim, how critical is that for size up? When you see a hole in the ground and then you see cinder block. And then you see lightweight flooring going on, you know that you might have to deal with that building one day. So,
yep.
Yes,
Charlie, I want to stop you for a second. You brought that up.
Yes.
Suffolk County, Long Island, 2 weeks ago, all volunteer
yes,
department. Actually, most Long Island's volunteer. Great department, Sable, New York. Actually, that's where Tom Brennan lived. In Sable, New York. But anyway, I don't think he was a volunteer out there, but they had a split level, you know, or a high ranch. I don't know what you call them in Jersey, but a split level. You go in 8 steps up, 7 steps down, or vice versa. They went in the front door, 5 feet in, and it's a new one, not one built in the 60s or 70s. It's probably maybe 10, 15 years old. The firefighters went in. They went in about, I'm going to say, 5 to 10 feet. They both went through the floor. One ended up in the basement, and one ended up getting hung up on the plumbing. There was plumbing, you know, pipes and stuff.
Oh, yes.
He fell partially through, and he ended up getting caught in the plumbing. He got out. They got the guy who fell all the way down through the basement. The RIT team or another company went in. I don't know all the details. They went and got him out. But the fire was in the basement, exactly what you just said. Lightweight flooring in the vestibule, and they went in, and they went straight down. And, you know, so it happens every day. I won't say every day, but it happens too often. We luck out sometimes. Yeah. We crawl over the floors. I remember going into a fire, and we got to the kitchen, and the refrigerator was halfway down on a floor that was 2 feet away from me as we were crawling by it. I said to my lieutenant, I was fairly new, I said, we need to get out of here. And he goes, my words exactly, let's back out. If the refrigerator is through the floor halfway down, what we're on a couple feet away can't be much better. But it was an older constructed building, had real 2x4s and real joists holding it up. That's why we were okay. Buildings have changed, and there's so many people out there talking about it, but we're not teaching our recruits this, and I think they need to understand. You know, I live in a community, you know, I'm on the East Coast just like you guys. There are buildings built before the turn of the last century in the mid-1800s, and there are buildings that were built last month, and they react totally different to fire, and we have to pay attention to that. Thank you, Charlie, for bringing that up.
Yes, yes. You know, as Chief Dunn talks in his book, Point of No Return, you know, 5 feet in, you know, into a room.
Oh, yeah.
And again, these guys are going, you know, you know, listen, we're taught at a very young age, take the fire attack line through the front door, side A, to protect the fleeing occupants, to support the rescue operations, and hold the fire back in check while the rescues are being made. So I think now it behooves us with the new construction to that first new officer or that first new chief has got to do a 360 and take a look in that those basement windows, because you will have them. You will have those basement windows, even if they're small. You will have them on more than likely on the Bravo Charlie and Bravo Charlie and Delta side, which I have found in my travels. So that's a whole these are a whole different animal, but these are the animals that we have to deal with. And you know, and just relating back to Chief Avello, you would say the NIOSH reports. When you turn around, you look and you go, how the hell did this fireman die in a residential building that might be only 20 by 40, 25 by 50? It died on the second floor. How did this happen? And there's the building standing there. And guys aren't dying in high – well, I'm not going to say guys aren't dying in high rises. They are wind-driven fires. But – our bread and butter now is residentials. Now, not only the residentials we have to deal with, but the lightweight residentials that are not going to support the weight of us going in into that front door. So, you know, there's so many things. There's so many things. Yes.
Vinnie Dunn, you've been talking about Vinnie Dunn a lot tonight, so I'm going to talk about a little more. His latest book, The Battle Space, he says the private dwelling is one of the toughest firefights there is. We lose many we hurt firefighters. We lose civilians. We lose more civilians in private dwellings. It's become my – Chief Villo knows that's my mantra because that's my experience. Mm-hmm. I can't talk about high-rises, but I can talk about private dwellings. But Vinnie Dunn just validated that in his new book to me. He says – let me see if I can read the exact words. He says, I thought about the question for days, and it's difficult. I responded to him. I place most people and firefighters are killed in residential occupancies. The firefighting presents are large open stairs, no second exit from upstairs bedrooms, an environment of mostly synthetic furnishings, open floor design of the entire first floor. So in chapter one, in his latest book, says that the two-and-a-half-story dwelling is the deadliest fire occupancy. So it's also most of our occupancies. I won't say it's all because of the construction, but most people in America live in a two-and-a-half-story or a one-story frame building. I hate to say this, guys. I think we beat a horse to death tonight. We're at the end of our program. We don't have much time left. I'm going to ask each of you guys to give me a summary and a few sentence closing thought of what we can do to do better in the fire service, kind of linked to what we talked about tonight.
Go ahead, Charles.
I'll start then.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to talk about Facebook. One of the problems with Facebook is you're anonymous. And what I would like to ask firefighters to do out there when they're posting things on Facebook, before they post something, before they push the send button on their computer, is would you say what you're saying to that other fire department if you were sitting face-to-face with that person? If you wouldn't say it face-to-face to them, don't be saying it on Facebook. So example being, oh, that department, they suck. Would you look that guy in the eye if you were sitting at a bar or having coffee and say your department sucks? Although sometimes that may be true, But I think I'm going to kind of close on that. You guys, just give me a quick closing. Charlie, I'll start with you before Chief Avila.
Okay. Chief Duffy, I think you kind of hit the nail right on the head. You know, many times guys will hide behind characters. They'll hide behind just no face whatsoever. And most of the time when if a guy requests a friendship or to come onto the page, I deny it. Because if you don't show me something, you don't show me your page, you don't show me, you're out there fishing, hunting, and looking for problems. I believe that the fire service were better than that. And I think that we need to take a look at the younger generation on how we're educating them. And, again, we're at the New Jersey Deputy and Battalion Fire Chiefs Association with the new law that was just signed in for the younger generation. We're going to expand upon that and see what we can do to lead them in a better direction. So, again, it's just it's a great fraternity. It's the best fraternity any money can buy. You can work in that all you want. Again, if God made anything better, he kept it for himself. So, Chief Avila, you want to close us out?
Listen, it's funny how, Duffy's from Connecticut and New York. You and I are both from Hudson County. But we all have drank the same Kool-Aid. I really didn't know Duffy until probably maybe 15 years ago when we first did the Tactical Perspectives DVDs. I don't even remember what year that was, but you're right. The brotherhood and sisterhood is we need to look within ourselves, and we need to step up to the plate and sort of support each other. Nobody ever goes to a fire thinking to get hurt or killed, and nobody goes to a fire trying to do a bad job. Do they need more training? That's maybe not for me to say, looking from the outside. It's important that people take this job seriously, because it's as serious as it gets. People get killed in this job. As I had said, nobody ever goes to a fire thinking to get hurt or killed, but it happens an awful lot, awful lot. And we need to understand that this is a business of information. And as a business of information, we have to stay, in those books, and we have to stay up with the upcoming trends and the things that are hurting and killing firefighters, that through the door, through the floor thing, unfortunately, we're killing more people in floor collapses than any other type of collapse. And I don't know that for a fact, but I would think that's probably pretty true. But I think we need to take care of ourselves before we start to criticize others. So, on behalf of Duffy and Duff, I'm sure you'll have the last word here, which is fine. I'd just like to thank Charlie for coming by. Charlie, you're doing a great job with all the things you're doing out there. And, keep up that good work, man. It's bigger than any of us.
Well, Chief, I want to thank you and Chief Duffy. And I always believe in one thing, that I'm only behind me. And you just said most of my good work is done, is really done, as we would say, over the hardwood, or we come to the bunker, in my bunker, or we sit in my backyard. And we've got a lot of things accomplished through the Chief Association, Chief Mike Diarco, Frank D'Angelo, Smarty Lutz, Bernie Cunningham. There were so many that sits. JB. JB is fantastic. So we could go on and on, but I've been truly humbled by allowing to come on the show, because I know it reaches out to many. And again, either career or volunteer, we all put the hand up the same way. We all recite the same words. And the demon doesn't care if you're a volunteer or career. It'll take your life in a heartbeat. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for allowing me to have the stage tonight and speak a little bit about the passion of, you know, my pages.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Those are great words. Keeville, you know what I'm going to say. If you have a chance and a choice when you're out buying things, buy American. It does make a difference. People who are working pay taxes. You know, we could blame the Democrats. We could blame the Republicans. It doesn't matter. If we're continuing to buy stuff that's made overseas, sometimes you don't have a choice, and I understand that. You can't buy a computer made in the United States. But if you have a choice, try to buy American. It will help our economy and help other people, and those people pay the taxes that paid our salary. So I'm pleased about that. And one thing, I sound a little negative tonight, but I want to close with the brotherhood and sisterhood is alive and well in the fire service. I just think Facebook sometimes exaggerates it. And always look in your heart and, you know, like I said before, if you wouldn't say it to somebody's face, don't say it behind the keyboard. And thank you, and until next time. Oh, Chief Avillo, we didn't talk about FDIC. Do you have a couple minutes to talk about your classes, or do you want to wait till next month?
Let's wait till next month. We still have
okay.
2 months from there.
Okay, good enough. Love you all. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next month on Fireground Strategies and other stuff from the street. And thank you to our sponsor, Unimac. They make gear cleaning equipment to help keep us safe so we stop, well, at least slow down some of the cancer rates in the fire service. Thank you again. We'll be seeing you.
All right. Good night now.
Thanks,
thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, bro. Ciao, ciao.